So we've been going through a series on the Holy Spirit. So I don't know how many weeks it's been now, but a lot of excellent messages have been brought already. Last week, Kirk did an excellent job. Boy, there's a lot of echo up here. I don't know if we can turn that down. Kirk did a great job laying out a lot of the scriptural basis for baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I might hit a few things a second time, but you know what? A lot of times we need to hear things more than once before it sinks in, so I think that's okay. The title of my message, you want to throw that up there? It's maybe not one of my more eloquent message titles, but if it's from God, it's good. If it's good, I want it. Right. So as I was thinking about, you know, and a lot of this I'm going to share some of my testimony, my personal journey with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, some of the struggles I faced. One of the things that really finally got to me was the point of, you know what, this is something God wants for me. It's something good that he has for me, therefore, I should want it. And once I crossed that barrier, a lot of things started to fall into place. But this morning, I hope to connect with three categories of people. You might be here, and maybe this is some of the first time you've ever heard teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it might be kind of new, something you're just learning about. Hopefully you're interested in pursuing that. There may be people here that have been taught this maybe numerous times, and you've just never really come to that place of fully diving into the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And one of the reasons, by the way, that I had Christy, or asked Christy, I shouldn't say I had her do this, I asked her to do it, read the, from 1 Corinthians 14, is because, you know, I wanted to kind of set that groundwork there. I'm going to pull out a lot of stuff that's specifically talking about our personal use of tongues. So when I talk about tongues this morning, I really am talking more about our personal prayer language to God, which again, we often name that as being, you know, a visible evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, when I mention that, I just want to say, you know, it is different than when we talk about tongues and interpretation in the context of all of us together, okay? So, you know, maybe you've heard about some of these teachings before and it's just never really sunk in. You've never been able to get over some of those hurdles. And there may be many of you here who are, you know, baptized in the Holy Spirit a long time ago. You've, you know, fully embraced it. But you might let some of those things just kind of, you know, fall to the wayside. I know there's times in my life where I've just gotten out of the habit of speaking in tongues and using the spiritual gifts that God has provided for us. And we need to stir those things up because we need to recognize God has given these things to us for his purposes and for good purposes. And so we don't want to let them sit on the shelf. So at the end of the day, I hope to... Well, not the end of the day, the end of my message. Not going to be here too long. I hope to drive home 3 points. First of all is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you'll see I've been using the B-O-H-S because it's just too long to write out and fit on the slide. So baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues is for all believers for all time. It's a useful gift, something we should embrace, pursue, and use regularly. And 3, that it's something that we receive by faith. It's not contingent upon my own perceived standing with God. So I'm going to talk about some of the common barriers to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, there may be things that you're struggling with that I'm not going to that I don't touch on today. Please, you know, come talk to me. Come talk to any of the elders. We'd be happy to, you know, sit down and just help you understand, you know, how to get through some of those things. So first of all, barrier number 1, incorrect teaching. And this can take a lot of forms. You know, it might be that you've been taught, you know, and some traditions believe that, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and other spiritual gifts was something that was given just for the early apostles as they were spreading the early church. And then once the canon of Scripture, you know, once all the books were written by the apostles, we didn't need that anymore. So it just kind of faded off and died off. A second one, some traditions have also taught that speaking of tongues is of the devil. You know, that it's just a weird thing that shouldn't be done. And then there's also, you know, some of us just think that, well, I received the Holy Spirit when I got saved. I don't need a second experience. I don't need anything else. So from these kind of objections, you really need to be thoroughly immersed in the Word and convinced this is what God's word said. This is what I believe, and I'm going to follow it. We've talked a lot about that too. You know, we need both sides. We need the Spirit. We need the Word. We need to be thoroughly grounded in God's Word and truth, stable in those things and that foundation, and open to the things of the Holy Spirit as He moves in this day and age. So, again, Kirk did a great job going through a lot of things last week. You know, and I really encourage you, you know, go through that a few times because it really lays a lot of the scriptural foundation there. Let's look at the first one here. It's not for today. The promise is for all whom the Lord our God will call. All believers for all times. Acts 2:38 says, "And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." I love this. It doesn't leave anything out. You know, that far off, it can mean both distance as well as, you know, just being removed by relation. So it's like all of us, we're far off from the apostles, right? We're multiple generations down from the apostles, but it was for us too. And it was for all whom the Lord of God would call. And if you're in here today and you've responded and you've repented and you've asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, that's because God called you and you responded. Therefore, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for you. The command to seek and use the gifts, too, still stands. This is one I always kind of bring up when you know, I talk to someone who maybe believes that, well, you know, that was just for the first century. It doesn't apply now. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:37, "If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues." It's like we're commanded to pursue spiritual gifts. We're commanded to allow these things in the church service. We're told to use these things as part of our edification. These are commands of the Lord. And so, you know, if you're going to tell me that doesn't apply anymore, it's like, okay, show me the command that says I should ignore that command. Because if it's not in here telling me that, you know, you're okay to ignore this now, then I'm not going to. So, you know, again, there's a lot of things we don't do from the Old Testament because Jesus set those aside. And that's okay. We feel good about that. But when there's things that are applying to the New Testament church, we have to take that seriously. Hey, this is a command of the Lord. This is something important. This is something for now, for this day and age in this church. Okay, another thing. Supernatural activity is a sign of the ongoing advancement of the kingdom of God. And Kirk touched on this last week. Mark 16:17. "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues." So again, it's part of that ongoing expansion as the church expands throughout the world. And I just was blown away by some of the stuff that Kirk shared about the growth of the charismatic and Pentecostal movements across the world. I mean, billions of people, literally, have come to this, come to know Jesus and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's the fastest growing religious movement on the earth. That's pretty significant. You know, again, as that goes forward, the Holy Spirit's going out, it's touching people, filling people. It's something that we really need to recognize. It's just part of the ongoing work that God is doing today. All right, how about this second one? Tongues is of the devil. Now, again, this is something that there's a lot of weird stuff out there, right? We know that. You know, look on the internet, you can find weird stuff. You know, don't type in that, weird stuff. You'll find plenty of it. But it's like, you know, the cult, the occult, they do speaking in tongues. You know, you can see these things where, you know, people get into this, you know, frenzy and they speak in tongues and they do all kinds of crazy stuff. But that doesn't mean that there's not a real thing, okay? So if we say, well, we shouldn't speak in tongues because, you know, weird people speak in tongues and we don't want to be weird, it's like, well, okay, you know, sex outside of marriage is bad too, but we don't say that sex inside marriage is bad because it's bad outside of marriage, right? In the proper context, it's a beautiful thing. It's something we want to be a part of. It's something we want to do. So, Luke 11:11 says, "What father among you, if he asks for a fish, will give him, instead of a fish, will give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion?
If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? God only has good gifts for us. That's so important that we look at this and say, oh, this is a good thing. My Father wants to give me something good. Wow, I should want that. I shouldn't be afraid of people who do something that's weird with it or something that imitates it that's wrong. No, I want the real thing from the real God. And I want it for me. Okay, another objection or, you know, wrong teaching. Again, that it's not a second experience. And you know, there are a lot of debates that go on with that. Like Kirk said last week, you know, there's been 2,000 years to parse the scriptures and try to come up with, you know, all these different positions. And you know, I kind of started thinking about that. You know what? I'm going to address this question the way Jesus addressed questions, by asking a question. You know, you ever notice that? So the Pharisees would come and ask Jesus a question. He'd be like, well, tell me this. Yeah. So, you know, rather than thinking about, you know, is this really a second experience? Do we really have to have this after this? And, you know, how does that all work, you know, in the mysteries of or the inner workings of God's grace? It's like, you know what? That's, I don't know that we're really able to grasp those things anyway. Why don't we just get to the brass tacks here? God gives us specific commands. Right? He asks us, commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right. And ongoing, always pursuing, seeking the Holy Spirit. God commands us to earnestly desire spiritual gifts and to be used in them. We're being called to be used by God to preach the gospel, to win the lost, to build up the saved. All these things that the Holy Spirit has given for that we might be witnesses. So it's like rather than trying to parse the scriptures, let's just follow the scriptures. Right. I need the Holy Spirit to do all these things. Sure. I need the gift of speaking in tongues for myself to do all these things. I need to be filled with every power possible to do what God has called me to do. So I don't care, you know, and again, there's importance there, and I'm not saying scripture is important. Rail's getting the eye back there. but it's like, there comes a time when you say, you know what? Rather than worrying about how I get to where I'm supposed to be, let's just be where I'm supposed to be, right? And I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to ask Him for His gifts. I'm going to accept them and walk in them and not try to analyze them. Okay. Barrier number two. I think this is the biggest one. And this was one that I think had a lot to do with my struggles over the years. It's really that I just don't think that's that important, or it's not really for me specifically. You know, and again, people look at scriptures in 1 Corinthians 14 says, well, you know, Paul even said, I'd rather use, you know, prophesy than speak in tongues. And again, they're looking at it that wrong. They're taking two different things and comparing apples and oranges. You know, you might be saved, growing in Christ, doing good works, you know, really being used by God. You might think, why do I need this? You know, that's just for weak people. But it has more to do with wanting everything that God has for us than anything else. So I want to talk, and I'm going to kind of lift out some verses from 1 Corinthians 14 that specifically are talking about the gift of speaking in tongues as a personal prayer language. So starting in verse 2, it says, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with the Spirit. So obviously, it's talking about something that's personal. It's something that's between me and God. And, you know, he utters mysteries with the Spirit. That's really cool and mysterious, right? It's like, okay, when I'm speaking in tongues, God is speaking through me things that I don't understand, but obviously are very important because God doesn't speak stuff just for hearing His own voice. So it's like, wow, there's something really awesome going on there. Verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. I know I'm cutting that off, and that's why I had it read earlier, so you know, don't accuse me of being too much of a pretexter here, but Who doesn't need edification from time to time, right? I mean, how many times do we just need to have our spirit built up that we're just so distressed or confused or, you know, pressed down that we need the edification of the Holy Spirit to build up our spirit to get us through that next moment, that next day? And here, Paul says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, okay? So the Apostle Paul has said that now to every one of us. I would like all of you to speak in tongues, okay? So you can't say it's not for you, because the Apostle Paul just addressed you. Okay, verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I shall pray with my spirit, but I also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. So, you know, again, there's two things going on here. There's this Holy Spirit language coming out of us that we aren't creating in our mind. We're not thinking up the language to speak. That's speaking out. And we can even sing in tongues. I know I've heard people that do that really well. I never can. I just kind of get lost when I try to do that. But, you know, it's just, again, a way of building up yourself, building up your spirit, in the letting the Holy Spirit just do the talking. Verse 18, again, Paul says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. You know, and these were some of the verses that really started to hit me. It's like, you know what? If Paul thought it was this important, Paul the Apostle, who knew the Old Testament scriptures backward and forward, and who could argue eloquently before, you know, kings about the gospel and how Jesus was the Messiah, you know, foretold in the Old Testament. This great man of God said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. And he was clearly talking about on his own, because he says, in a church, I'd rather prophesy. But when I'm on my own, I speak in tongues more than all of you, even more than April. It's got to be important, right? Yeah. Finally, in verse 28, if there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. So I just want to point out here, it's okay to speak in tongues to yourself here. And I know many of us do that. You know, like a lot of times I'll be up here and I'm just speaking quietly in tongues. You know, like you know, the song's going on and I'm speaking in tongues over here. I'm letting God, you know, speak to my spirit and just build me up that way. You know, so again, it's not forbidden to speak in tongues in the congregational setting. Now, if you're out here and you're making a spectacle and you're doing it so loudly that you're causing, you know, the unbeliever who comes in to say you're crazy, then that's a problem. And that's what 1 Corinthians 14 is addressing. But otherwise, do it quietly between yourself and God. It's a good thing. It's in the Bible that it's okay to do this. So be encouraged to take advantage of that. So just to summarize, tongues as a prayer language is useful and good, and even the Apostle Paul practiced it. It's prayer to God, not to men, uttering mysteries with the Spirit. Speaking in tongues edifies the speaker. You know, so again, edification, you're building yourself up. That's always useful, right? It's like, you know, eating a good diet and exercise. It's useful. It builds you up. Now, you might not always think, wow, that was great. That was the best thing ever. You know, you have your kale salad and your whatever. You know, it might not be like your most favoritest meal ever, but it's useful. It's beneficial. It builds you up. Prayer with the Spirit, your mind is not involved. You aren't thinking up what to say. Again, and this is, you know, for those of you who've never experienced this before, you don't have to come up with the language in your mind. It's something that just wells up outside, you know, wells up within you. And I remember when I first started to speak in tongues, it was like I would just get a couple words, you know, and just start speaking those out. And over time, that grew into something more full. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. You can sing in tongues too. Who knew? Tongues is available for all. Paul encouraged us all to do it. Paul regarded it as good and important, and it's okay to do it in the church, but quietly to yourself and to God. So again, I hope this is something that speaks to every person here today, whether you're yet to be a believer, or you're new in the Lord and seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or you're old in the Lord like me. The Holy Spirit is given to empower us to be witnesses. There's things that he is doing in us that we can only do by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this one little evidence that we call speaking in tongues is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, and I think that's part of the problem sometimes. We think, well, you know, I mean, it's not that big of a deal, right? You know, it's kind of just off on the side almost. You know, it's not the most important thing. And I know sometimes we overreact to the fact that some, you know, faith traditions maybe have made it the most important thing. You know, that if you're not speaking in tongues, then maybe you're not even saved, you know. That's not what we're saying. It's not the most important thing, but it is important. And it's not more important than everything else, but it's still very important, and it's still very useful, and still very much something that we should embrace and pursue and go after. So, first part of my testimony, when I was struggling to understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I remember going through these verses and realizing, you know, that tongues was just, it was part of like God's basic equipment package. It's like, okay, you get saved, all right, you get baptized, and you get baptized with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's like, okay, so now you've got this ability that's supernatural to hear God's voice, to understand scripture as you read it, to have impartation from God in situations. You know, it's like, why would I want to go through life without this? So if you're seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, recognize how good and useful it is. And that tongues as a spiritual language is just a blessing that God gives us in our relationship to him. You know, maybe you're a discouraged seeker of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and maybe even given up on it, thinking it's not that important. You know, again, I just want to spark your interest. It's for all believers for all time. And it's a useful gift for your walk with Jesus. Again, maybe you're someone here who's gotten away from using your spiritual prayer language. Pick it up again. There's so many times that it's just been so useful to me. You know, I'll be in the car, you know, be in the shower, praying loudly in tongues. There's times when, you know, my emotions or my thoughts are just all over the place. You know, you're in a stressful situation and things are just coming at you. You know, your emotions are high and low and your thoughts are scrambled. It's a great time to pray in tongues. You know, just go off and just pray in tongues. It's like, God, I need some wisdom from you. I need some help from you. And it's funny how God just uses that to clarify things. You know, maybe speaks a word to your mind to help give you some direction. One particular example of this was when my wife Janet was in the midst of open heart surgery. There was a point where, you know, the surgeons came out, or the assistant or whatever, and said, you know, the surgeon literally had her heart in his hands at that moment. That, you know, she was on the machine, they were doing their work. And so I decided I was going to go home and take a shower. Now, it was partly because I'd been there all night and I needed a shower. I probably smelled horrible. But part of it, too, was I just wanted to be alone. And I wanted to be able to cry out to God without any feeling weird about all the people around me. So I got in my car and I just started praying. And I started praying in tongues. And God just enabled me to express the deepest thoughts and emotions of my heart in a way that I couldn't have done otherwise. And it was so cool because as I did that and as I prayed, you know, and I begged God to, you know, not let my wife be taken from me. It was just so clear to me that God was like, you know what? That surgeon has her heart in his hands, but I do too.
Right.
I was going to try not to get emotional. Just can't do it. So, you know, again, it was a tool that God had given me for that moment that I'm so glad I had. That was so useful and so beneficial to me. Okay, number three, barrier number three. I don't know how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One of the big barriers really comes down to, how do I know I've received it? You know, how do I understand if it's me or God? Go to the next slide there. You know, it's that intersection between the spiritual and the natural, right? It's like, okay, there's something spiritual here, but there's something very natural. I've got to use my tongue and my voice and my breath. You know, and it's kind of like, you know, God instructs us to lay hands on people when we pray for them for healing. You know, we don't understand that really, but it's like, you know, there's a natural and there's a spiritual thing that come together. So I want to reiterate a couple points that Kirk made last week and kind of bring some of my testimony to it. So starting in John 7 again, verse 37, it says, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come and drink. Come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who had believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So there's the spiritual, what God does, and the natural, what we do. You know, it's by faith that we receive this, right? And this is where, again, we've got to be convinced from the scripture. This is something God has given. It's good. It's for me. You know, I don't have to earn it. It's not something that I should be afraid of. So we have that faith, and then we have to just come to Jesus and just seek him and say, "God, I want everything from you that you have for me. I want every single thing that you have for me. Because if you said it's for me, it's got to be good. And so I want that." Acts 2:4 says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So again, the Spirit gives you utterance, but you speak. So how do we receive this gift of the Holy Spirit in speaking in tongues? We come to Jesus thirsty for more. You know, Kirk said this last week. Seek Jesus, right? We're not seeking tongues, we're not seeking the thing, but we're seeking Jesus because we want more of him. We're convinced in our heart, it's from God's word, it's for you. It's for all believers for all time. You know, we have to surrender. We have to drink it in and just surrender our hearts and our minds to God and say, "I want what you want." We need to ask, "God, I want your gift." God wants to give it to you. It's not a hard thing when it comes right down to it, right? God wants to give you something. If you say yes, he gives it to you. Isn't that awesome? Receive it. It's a gift. It doesn't depend on us. It depends on what Christ has done. This is an important point. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit as proof of his resurrection and ascension into heaven. You know, this is a sign of Christ being on the throne. He sent his Holy Spirit down, and he said, "It's available to all." This is that, as Kirk said last week, what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And then speak. Let the words flow out of your mouth as the Spirit gives utterance. Okay, so more of my story. I was, you know, probably 12, 13 when I first started hearing about baptism of the Holy Spirit. My mom had started to attend a charismatic Bible study in our neighborhood. I was part of a Methodist church, which was kind of a don't ask, don't tell kind of church. You know, yeah, we believe in the Holy Spirit. You know, just don't talk about it. You know. So I started hearing these things, and then when I was about 15 or 16, my older brother married a nice Pentecostal young woman, and they began to lead our youth group at our Methodist church. So there's a weird combination right there. But we had a youth retreat, and it focused on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So again, I'm 15, 16 years old, somewhere in that range. In the main session, we were praying to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. And I earnestly prayed and prayed and prayed, you know, wanting this thing that they were talking about. But nothing happened. And again, there was a lot of reasons for that, you know. But at that point, I just wasn't in a position to really receive that. You know, and honestly, looking back, I had no idea about grace at all in my life. You know, I knew I was supposed to do good things and be a Christian and all this. But I left that weekend confused and discouraged, and I didn't really want to think about this anymore. It's like, yeah, this is, let's just put that aside. So I did for about 10 years. Fast forward about 10 years, and Jan and I are now in Ohio looking for a church. We both believed the Holy Spirit was important for today, and we wanted to be a part of a church that allowed spiritual gifts. Again, I don't think either of us had spoken in tongues or, you know, really experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit by that time, but we knew it was important. We knew it was something we wanted to be a part of. We went to a few churches where, you know, we knew they were Spirit-filled churches, and we remember the one, we're there, and the worship leader up there, he's like, okay, everybody, speak out in tongues! And we're like, I don't think that's right. So we got out of there. But then we came to ACC about 34 years ago, which is, wow, my gosh, I'm getting old. But we were impressed to see things done decently and in order. You know, it's like, okay, they're taking time for people to be recognized, to speak things out so that everybody can hear it. And so we started to attend here and made this our home. At some point, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues was being taught. I remember going up front with a group of people to receive prayer for baptism of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we're all praying and some people were speaking in tongues. Didn't happen for me. Again, I'm like, I just couldn't get past my mind, right? My mind was the barrier, all right? Sure. But I remember God touching me in a very deep way. There was something really significant that happened, but, you know, speaking in tongues, I just couldn't get that part out. And I don't recall the exact time, but then a few years later, some years later, because I remember it was back in our house on Mishler Street, I purchased Jack Hayford's book called The Beauty of Spiritual Language. And he just goes through and he really just lays out the case, you know, that speaking in tongues, it's a good thing. It's all these things that I'm sharing here this morning. And it was something that God had for me. And I remember talking to Rayo about this. And again, I don't remember the year. 95, let's say. I don't know. But he suggested, just go in your bedroom and just talk to God. And let him give you words to speak. And then just open your mouth and just say whatever he gives you. So I did that. And I spoke a few words that day. And then over time, a few more here and there. And I remember at some point after that being in a situation where I was trying to give some counsel to a young man who was making some really bad decisions. And I was just, it was a really intense time. And I remember getting in my car after that and just praying and just start praying in tongues. It was like all of a sudden it was like, oh my cow, where's this all coming from? You know, it was just this whole other language I never heard before. That was when I really started to realize how powerful and mysterious this gift was. You know, again, it's like there's things that go on here that I don't understand and I'm not supposed to. And that's okay. And that's one of the barriers we have to get past is I don't have to understand everything that's going on here for it to be a good thing from God. I need to be convinced from the scriptures, yes. But the actual workings of it, you know, there's mysteries there. It's okay. So how did I overcome my mental blocks with receiving the gift of tongues in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Number one, I had to be open and curious about everything God has for me. You know, you just can't. I mean, we do it all the time. We put things on the shelf from God because we don't understand them. And God's patient with us. Thank you, God, for being that. Thank you, God, for being patient with me for all these years. But, you know, all we're doing is holding ourselves back by not fully pursuing the things that God has for us. And honestly, lack of humility probably had a lot to do with that. You know, I probably thought that, you know, yeah, I'm just not sure, you know, I think I know a little better maybe, you know, maybe I'm understanding the scriptures better than Kirk and Rayo. But, you know, it probably delayed the process. And again, is eventually something that I came to see a blessing for. Just a total bunny trail here. But like before Jan and I got married, I was really worried that, you know, I was still in grad school. We didn't have any money. Didn't have a place to live. Well, a few barriers. It was like, you know, we can't get married right now. But I eventually dove in and we got married while I was still in school. Best decision I ever made, right? Right. You know, it was like after we got married and she found a good job, we had an apartment instead of me living in a dorm. We had food instead of me not eating. And it was great. I mean, and, you know, it's like I suddenly became much more focused in my time management because I didn't want to be at the lab with the guys hanging out for 18 hours. I wanted to get my work done and go home. all these good things came from that, that I was worried about because I didn't understand how it was going to work. And we do the same thing, you know, right? We're not sure about this baptism of the Holy Spirit thing. We're not sure about this speaking in tongue thing. And it holds us back from a blessing. So we need to convince ourselves it's something that's good. It's something that's necessary. Again, the Apostle Paul needed it. How much more do we? Right? The guy had so much going on. He was so, you know, incredibly gifted, both naturally and spiritually. We need it too. So I think it's just key. Don't be afraid to pursue this outside of a group setting, you know? I know Ruth's testimony also was she had to go in her bedroom and just pray to God all day to get that thing settled. And, you know, a lot of times when we're in the pressure of a group setting, it's just weird. We don't want to sound weird. We don't want to sound fake. We don't want to be fake, right? I mean, bottom line, we want to do what's true. When you're home in your bedroom by yourself, you can just start, you know, talking to God and just talking out freely in tongues, and you don't have to worry, is it me or not? Because it's just you there with God. And he'll bring it about. You know, he can open things up that you might just feel pressured to when you're in a group setting. Number four, I continued to step out and exercise that gift until it became a free-flowing river. You know, this is important. You know, don't just settle for a little thing. Just keep practicing it. Keep using it. Let it come out of you. And now I exercise that gift regularly as part of my normal devotional life, right? I won't say I use it every day. I probably don't. But, you know, a lot of times, again, you know, stressful situations, I'll just go off for myself and I'll pray in tongues. Or, you know, I'm feeling really discouraged. I'll go in the shower and I'll turn on some loud music and I'll worship loudly and pray in tongues. I do that when I'm happy sometimes, too. So, pursue this. Whether you've, you know, been baptized in the Holy Spirit before or you're just now hearing about it, it's so good. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid to step out and experience this. So I'm going to close with this challenge. Again, if you're just starting to learn about this for the first time, don't be intimidated, but pursue it with confidence. This is a grace gift that God has for you. Right. You didn't have to earn it. You don't have to be a certain spiritual level. God has this grace gift for you. He wants to give it to you. If you're someone who has put off tongues and spiritual gifts on the shelf for another time, I think now it's time to dig back in. You know, Kirk has been inspired to do this series here for the last few weeks, and you know, it's raising the bar spiritually, right? We want to be diving into everything that God has for us. And third, if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, be spurred on to use that gift regularly. You know, use it as you serve and worship Jesus. Don't let it get dusty and rusty. All right? All right, let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much. God, I thank you for your patience and your loving kindness, Lord. I thank you that your mercies are new every day. If not for your mercy, God, we would all be consumed. But you are good and gracious. Lord, you paid the price for our sin. You took it to the cross, but you rose again. You ascended on high, Lord, and you took your throne in heaven and sent your Holy Spirit as evidence of that. And God, you have given that gift to us that we might be fully equipped to be your witnesses. And Lord, we are just so grateful that you are such a good and awesome and merciful and wonderful God. You give good gifts to your children. Lord, you want to bring each and every one of us closer to you and just give us the ability to do all the things that you want to do on this earth because you love those who haven't heard of you yet. And you love this world. You want to see as many as possible come to you. Amen. God, equip your church to be witnesses. Give us your power that we might walk in the way that you would desire and that we would have just the ability even to deal with the afflictions and struggles of life. God, we're grateful for everything you've done. You're so merciful, God. I just can't even express how good you are. And I thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.